live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. It is the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's a mobile tire company, online, freedomtireguys.com. TD, good to see you. How are you?
Hey, man, every day is a good day. Good to be back with you. I enjoyed my last couple weeks with Caroline, but, you know, the Batman and Robin team is back in effect. I'll be Giannis and you be Middleton.
Thank you, TD. That's so kind of you. And I know there is nobody who wakes up. TD, I envision when you wake up that you get up every day and then you go and X a date off on the calendar that is getting you one day closer to training camp, especially when we get to like this part of July. It's like a red X through every day that keeps us away from training camp.
Yeah, man, I'm like a guy doing a bid, man. You know, I wake up every day and I'm like one day closer to freedom. That's how I look at it. Man, I can't wait to get out there on training camp and just be able to watch the guys practicing, talk to them. It's going to be a little bit more inclusive this year, so I'm absolutely excited about that. We got travel. There's a lot to be excited about, man. I can't contain it.
So I want to start with this, and we will get to kind of a Titans training camp preview. But I want to start with this, and it's in regards to what the NFL has decided today, which is basically similar to what Greg Sankey at the SEC announced earlier in the week. If there's a COVID outbreak on your team and you're not vaccinated, the NFL is going to make you forfeit that game. So we remember the Titans-Steelers game last year, and obviously circumstances were different, but that Titans-Steelers game is just a victory for the Steelers moving on. And I look at it this year. We've seen some teams, I think the Colts and Washington last week were below the 50% number. I think it's 6 or 8, or the number keeps growing, but teams that are in the 85% range. TD, what do we think of these new rules, and what do we know about the Titans and maybe how they've approached it or how they will approach it with the NFL saying, sorry if you don't get your shot?
Yeah, I think the rules are really interesting just because – I mean, it's you're basically forcing a guy to get the vaccine, and that's something that's it's unique because I feel even though it's like I'm on the fence with it, right? I feel even though whether or not you get the vaccine could possibly affect other people, it's still your decision. So it's just one of those things where you could have two sides to the story, and both of them are understandable. As far as the Titans, I'm not exactly sure where they are. I know there's 10 teams that are over the 85% tile vaccinated, but I don't know if the Titans are one of those teams.
Mm-hmm. TD, I found it interesting because I thought Nick Saban had the best response yesterday when he was asked about vaccinations and really broke it down into the personal choice you have to make and the team choice you have to make. And then kind of, you know, unlike a lot, I think a lot of times we've seen people who have, you know, I think one thing that doesn't work, TD, is finger wagging and pointing and saying, you get the vaccine or you're a dummy. Like, I don't think that's going to convince somebody to do it. But then Saban kind of laid it out. I thought he laid it out perfectly yesterday and then said, hey, 90% of my team's vaccinated, but it's everybody's choice. And, I mean, you just shared with me that DeAndre Hopkins tweeted out, quote, never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. I do wonder, to your point about making guys do this, I do wonder how these rules are going to have an effect on the league because, as I said, I don't think putting your finger in somebody's face and saying you better get it is going to get people to get it.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that's really lost in all this is the forfeiture of not only the win, but you're digging in guys' pockets, too. You know, it's a game check that's going to be given up, too. So there's definitely much more ramifications than what we've seen in the past. And it's just there's so much to it. And I actually had Dr. Amish Adalja out of Johns Hopkins. He's a senior advisor and I had him on talking with TD this week, and he dropped a lot of knowledge just about the way a lot of these guys are they don't understand that being in superb health, drinking water, eating well, and working out and doing all that, that's not going to stop you from getting the virus. It may curve the impact, but it's not going to stop you from getting it. So it's just one of those things where it's a tough decision for each person, especially if you're on the fence about it. And listen, I get some of these guys, like some of the oppositions, because listen, you could go back to in history, right? The Tuskegee experiment, is something that is in the mind of a lot of black people who are in opposition of the vaccine. So you have to understand that, because we're so quick to call these guys stupid or so quick to say, hey, you're being ridiculous. I think it's one of those things where you have to try to empathize with them, understand, right? You don't just dismiss their thought process. Try to understand it, seek understanding, and that might help you be able to convince them or get them to understand that, hey, it is good to get the vaccine. And that's why I had Dr. Adalja on and I specifically asked him about how he would explain this to the black community, because I know from personal experience, there is a strong opposition to getting this vaccine just because of the trust level that a lot of black people have with the government. It's not just black people, right? There's plenty of it's all races. I'm just saying sure. Black because that's what I know of personally. You know what I mean? But it's such a strange situation, a unique situation, and it's still like a movie. I mean, these last couple of years have been really like a movie. Like you're watching something on one of these premier stations. It really is a Hollywood script.
I think that's one of the things too that it took me a while to understand, TD, to your point, is the mistrust. Like I look at it like this. There is a lot of mistrust that I've heard of, and I probably don't know it very well, but there is mistrust in when you look at the vaccination rates amongst the African-American community. We know the NFL is predominantly an African-American sport.
Right.
And that's what I thought made it really impressive about Nick Saban yesterday, kind of laying it out for everybody, how he explained it to his team and got them to buy in. But I think Saban mentioned in about a 4-minute clip five or six times that it is a personal choice to make. And I think that is what, and I said this yesterday, Teron, that's what makes him such a great coach, is that he's making these players feel empowered to make the decision for themselves, and they still end up making the right decision. And I look at a guy like Vrabel, and I think, you know what? I think a lot of these players, if I had to list Mike Vrabel's best quality, it's getting players to buy in. It's getting players to listen to the experts that you know the Titans have probably brought in to talk to the players. And I look at it and say, you know, I do think that if there's any coach in the league that can get the players to trust them, it's Mike Vrabel. What do you think?
I definitely agree with you there, and here's why. It goes back to what I just said. The effort to seek understanding. If there's one thing Coach Vrabel could do is he could – how can I put it? He has a way about him of trying to put himself in the player's shoes. And I think that really showed a lot back, when you had the George Floyd incident and the team's reaction to that, the way he handled that situation. Some of the things he said, it really came across to me like, wow, this man is really genuine. And he is attempting to try to, look at it from their eyes. And I think that's what's happening here. Now, this is all speculation because, again, I don't know how that's going about. But I believe firmly that's what Coach Vrabel is doing, just because it's what I've seen before. And that being said, that makes you, when you're able to show empathy, it allows someone's mindset, someone's heart to be opened up. And now your point that you're trying to get across becomes much more relatable. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans are among those teams, those 10 teams that have the higher percentile. Either way, though, there's still going to be players who just – they're just not going to do it. And that's why you have the separate set of rules, whereas, they have to wear masks. They can't eat in the cafeteria with other players. they have to be tested daily and those type of things. So there is a separate set of rules for guys who are not vaccinated as opposed to guys who are. And I think Coach Vrabel is doing everything he can, and not just Coach Vrabel. I mean, let's look at the organization, the leadership altogether, right? You know, Coach Amy Adams Strunk. One of the things that I say coach, but the owner, Miss Amy Adams Strunk. One of the things that I always, you know, that touched me was how sincere she was with Jeffrey Simmons, right? And knowing the things that happened, she still opened her heart up to him and seeing his reaction. Why do I say that? It just the same, being able to relate to someone. I think that's important. John Robinson, you know how he is with the players and the relationship he has with them. I think the coaching staff, all of these guys, I firmly believe are and girls are in a good situation to influence these guys to make the decision that will be best for would be ideal for the team.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this in terms of covering the team? Because I have thought about this a lot. The NC State baseball thing kind of I thought was a big warning sign to the rest of sports, which was there are consequences if you don't get vaccinated, unfortunately. But I think about it like this. I personally, and I am not finger wagging and telling people what to do, and I am not, you know, saying I personally have gotten vaccinated. I believe in it. But how are we going to feel if Derrick Henry misses? And I'm using him as an example. I have no idea what Derrick Henry's vaccination status is. But how will we feel if Derrick Henry misses a pivotal game against the Colts because he comes down with COVID or is exposed to somebody and he's not vaccinated? Would we look at it the same way that we would look at, you know, that was an irresponsible choice by that player? Or would we look at it like, you know, he turned an ankle and can't play? It's not his fault that he turned an ankle and can't play. And I do wonder how the fans are going to feel in that kind of situation and how teammates are going to feel in that kind of situation, TD.
Yeah, I wonder more about the fans. I believe teammates are going to just look at it as what it is, right? It ultimately, it's player X's decision. And that's the way I look at it. And granted, obviously, there are, you know, other people that could be impacted by it. But, I mean, let's face the facts. There are people who have been vaccinated that still got the virus. You know what I'm saying? So there's all kinds of ways that you could go about approaching it. I think at the end of the day, we have to understand that it is each person's individual decision. All we can control is whether or not we get the vaccine, right? You know, so that's, I think, should be your ultimate concern, is whether or not you got it, and then going about still not like being careless, right? You know, wash your hands frequently, you know, do the things, don't have contact from your hands to your face, do the things that we've done in the past before the vaccines came about. And I think if each one of us individuals make sure that we're doing whatever we have to do to keep this thing under control, I think collectively it's going to keep everything under wraps. But here's the thing, and this is something that you know, Dr. Adalja, and I keep referring to that because he there was so much information. Definitely listen to that if you haven't gotten a chance to. But he called the pandemic now, he said, is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And he said from his studies, 90%, over 90% of the people that are in hospitals because of COVID are those who are not vaccinated. So that is something to look at.
That and this Delta variant, TD, yes. It sounds pretty scary. You know what I mean? I think that's the other thing.
Well, there's another variant, too. I think it's called Lambda. I think there's another variant that has made its way. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things. And Dr. Adalja actually said that at this point, he doesn't see a booster shot or a third dose being necessary, but that's only at this point.
Talking with TD to check out that interview, and it's something that, TD, you texted me about earlier today. I mean, I definitely think there's a lot in there. And I think medical professionals, you know, those are the people that people trust. You know, your doctors, things of that magnitude. Coming up next, we're back to the field. Training camp next week. TD, give me your preview, your thoughts, what you want to see, what you are expecting to see from the Titans. We'll do that coming up next. TD presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Join 102.5 The Game Saturday from 5 to 7 for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head over to Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match against FC Cincinnati, which you can also hear on ESPN 94.9. Get your tickets now at NashvilleSC.com and tune into the match on ESPN 94.9. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. More TD Power Hour next. It's Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, with this wrapping up the offseason program, you've had so many new faces coming in on defense and some guys that are still recovering from situations. How is the defense in comparison to where you'd like it to be at this point of this offseason?
It's tough to make any comparisons year to year, Teresa. So, you know, we're at from training camp. But, you know, we got some guys that are out there. And, you know, hopefully we get 11 out there every time. Understand there's going to be moving parts throughout the season. You know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, a lot of this has been good for us, been getting some work in the red zone and in third down, those critical situations that we have to improve at.
There you go. Mike Vrabel back on the field next week for training camp. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys. Teron Davenport, ESPN with us. All right, TD, I can only imagine what it's like in the TD household the week the training camp starts, or like the day of the first practice, because I'm sure your daughters see you going at about 100 miles an hour around the house before you head out to the practice field. So what are you most excited about? What are you looking forward to next week as the Titans open up training camp?
First, I want to thank Max for the intro music there. Biz Markie, rest in peace. Biz is a guy that I've been listening to for decades, so I appreciate that. Definitely a legend. As far as what I'm looking forward to most, there's so many. I mean, do you have like 4 hours for me to talk to you about this? Or
yes, I do. Me and Caroline are going to go head on out of here.
Yeah, let me keep the program going. No, I think really the thing that I'm looking forward to most is I want to see that communication and see the chemistry develop between Tannehill and Julio Jones. And I remember the last time we got to talk to Tannehill, I asked him about the Shaq and Kobe type of duo that they have at receiver now. And he said, none of that matters unless we're all on the same page. And I want to see a continuation of what we saw during OTAs and minicamp. And that was the extensive communication after reps during practice, in addition to the communication that Julio Jones consistently had with Coach Rob Moore, with Coach Todd Downing. There was a lot of talk and chatter, and I think that's important in getting him up to speed and also just having that offense be able to not necessarily flow through him, but flow with him. That's something I'm going to be looking for.
TD, let's stay with that side of the ball. I mean, you look at the offense, and I mean, I feel good about Brown. I feel good about Julio. I'm with you. I mean, I want to see that connection. I expect, though, I mean, both guys are veteran players. Both guys are smart players. And honestly, Julio's played in the Shanahan system before, and this is a little different, but it's very similar. And I feel good about Derrick Henry. I know Josh Reynolds has played in this system. I feel good about Firkser. I mean, I look at the offense, and I feel like there really aren't that many question marks. Right tackle, you know, who's going to play right tackle? But other than Todd Downing, I feel pretty good about the offense when it comes to training camp.
Everyone should feel good about the offense. This is an offense that set up crazy numbers last year, and they, in my opinion, upgraded for the most part. Obviously, losing Jonnu Smith is going to be tough, but I think Anthony Firkser can fill that role to an extent and also have Briley Moore, the undrafted free agent. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a critical part of filling that Jonnu Smith / Michael Pruitt role. Now, you're not going to get the same yards after catch that Jonnu Smith provided, the same big play opportunity that he provided. But I still think bringing in Julio Jones, that, in my opinion, is an upgrade from Corey Davis. And it kind of offsets the Jonnu Smith to Anthony Firkser, I don't want to say drop off, but change. And I think that offense is in really good shape. Todd Downing already has, at least in conversation, a very good approach to this, and to where he understands that the challenge, that's what he said, the challenge is going to change each week. when I asked him about not having enough footballs to go around for everyone. The challenge is going to change, and they're going to need everybody to be involved to win football games. So I think having that mindset and understanding is really good, and I don't think it's going to be lopsided to where they're going to be pass heavy or run heavy. I believe that balance is going to continue to be there.
What do you make about the position battle at right tackle? It looks like it's going to be Kendall Lamb and Dylan Radens, and maybe Ty Sambrylo is in that mix as well, but it feels like the only real position battle on offense, at least at a starting position. I mean, I think they would love for Radens to win that job. That's right. A lot to ask. How do you view that kind of position battle going into camp?
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to be a battle. You mentioned Ty Sambrylo. You're going to have him in the mix as well. But I think ideally Sambrylo and Kendall Lamb are guys that they could have ready to step in with minimal drop-off, whether, God forbid, something happens to anybody up front. Remember, these guys could play left and right, and I think when you mix in Quisenberry, that gives you a guy that could play pretty much everything except for center, where you have Aaron Brewer. So I look at it this way. Dylan Radens is a guy that they want to start. I believe Radens will start not the beginning of the year in the opener, but I could see him starting by week four. And I definitely feel that he's a guy that's capable. But one good way to judge and be able to tell where they think he is at is how many positions he plays during camp. If they have him working mostly at right tackle, that's going to tell me, hey, you know what? I think he's more geared towards winning that job for the opener. But if they have him working at multiple positions, I think that's just going to be working with the understanding that, hey, Kendall Lamb or Sambrylo, they're going to be the starters, and eventually he'll come in. But in the meantime, he'll be a depth guy.
Let's say Radens does well in camp and wins that right tackle job. How much like Jack Conklin can we expect out of him? Like, what do they see this offensive line? We know what Lawan's about, and we know the three guys in the middle. We know that Davis is probably the most athletic of the three. Saffold's a bulldog. We know what they bring. But what does Radens add to this mix?
I think he adds a lot of violence. I think he is a guy that could do things on the move as well. Now, I'm not necessarily going to compare him to Jack Conklin, because Jack Conklin is one of the best, especially run-blocking, right tackles in the game. I still feel Lane Johnson is the best right tackle in the game, but I think when it comes to run-blocking, Jack Conklin is up there. So I don't want to compare Radens to him just yet. I still think there's more to see, but I think just he'll bring you someone that could, put it this way, that will make it work, and someone with a bunch of upside, because the more he gets settled into the offense, the better he'll be. And we saw that progress during OTAs and minicamp.
How do you feel? What are your expectations for the back end of the receiver position? We know the top three, AJ, Julio, Josh Reynolds. After that, there's guys that have experience like Cam Batson. There are new guys like Dez Fitzpatrick, a rookie. How do you kind of see that back into the receiver position? And I know you've been big on Mason Kinsey.
Right, and he's the guy that I'll mention first, because I think when it comes to just a dedicated slot receiver, a guy who could run choice routes and just consistently make DBs look bad in that slot, he's that guy. He also brings some in the return game. So I'm going to be watching him. Marcus Johnson is another one. He's just a consistent player. He catches everything that's thrown his way. He has some success. I mean, he's led the Colts in receiving in multiple games last year. He was up and down with the Eagles as far as on and off the practice squad to the regular 53-man roster. I think he's someone else to watch. And it seems like he and Ryan Tannehill have a little something going, because I remember the last practice that we got to see in minicamp. He was consistently targeted, you know, and it wasn't the last. It was the third from the, so it was when they went back to minicamp, when they started minicamp, Tannehill hit him three times in the end zone. And each time, you know, it was a touchdown, a nice route, and those type of things. So you see that chemistry brewing. He's a guy that I could see getting in the mix. It's going to be tough at that receiver position, because, you know, they're going to do everything they can to keep Racy McMath. I wonder, because to me, Racy McMath and Nick Westbrook Ikhine, these guys are kind of two of the same. You know, I made the joke about Westbrook Ikhine during camp and at times during the season and practice when we saw him. I made the joke about him having a physical altercation with the football. Just a funny way of saying, like, he was fighting the football rather than catching it naturally. But that's something that he improved upon. And he even had that nice catch on that fourth down from Logan Woodside. So it's going to be interesting seeing that back and forth, right? Because both of these guys are what they envision to be special teams aces. And then you have Dane Cruikshank. How is his value going to come in? Is that going to make them able to keep both of them still? So there's a lot of storylines that you can look at. Charles Rogers, Downtown Freddie Brown. These are all guys that are going to be in the mix. So it's going to be fun watching that whole receiver thing work out.
TD with us for the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier online mobile tire company. We're going to flip it to the other side, TD. Defense. Questions injury related. Plus, Chris Sanders has his big thing. He wants to see at training camp, and it's on the defensive side of the ball. We'll hit that next. Plus, get your questions in for TD, as always. We will answer them on the text line, 615-737-1025. We'll save a segment at the end for TD questions for Teron, 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Like we talked to Bud Dupree, we're going to talk to Bud Dupree today for the first time since he signed. How's he been since he's been with the club from a rehab standpoint, a Zoom standpoint, and just as he prepares for 2021 season?
I would say everything that I said about Caleb Farley, Jim, that you could say about Bud. He's a professional. You know, I know Caleb's a rookie, but Bud is a professional. He communicates well, communicates with Todd about where he's at with his rehab and his – you know, therapist, and then when he's here, he communicates with me. That's been the biggest thing that we ask these guys to do is to communicate. And then, you know, now working here with the group, been engaged in meetings, and he's working hard and doing everything we asked him to do.
So let's go to last.
TD, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's online premier mobile tire company, freedomtireguys.com. TD, Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, injuries. What do we know about their availability for camp? Christian Fulton had an injury last year. What do we expect out of him? I mean, I look at the defense. I think we both expect an improvement, but there are a lot of question marks when they hit the field, especially with the injury bug.
Well, from what I've been told, Farley is going to be a go, as well as Fulton. Fulton actually is working out, getting all types of work in. He was working with Irv Smith and some of the other LSU guys recently. So they'll be good to go, which is great news, especially for Farley's sake, because you want to see that guy getting in the mix as soon as possible. That right corner position, that's going to be another one. We didn't talk about that, but that's going to be one to watch too, because I know Fulton is gunning for that position. That's where Farley's probably going to end up playing as well. And, you know, then you got the nickel situation with Fulton and Elijah Molden, the other rookies. So those are all things to watch. I don't believe Bud Dupree is going to be a full go, though. I think they're going to kind of bring him along continuously. And if you look at the time frame, he should probably be ready to go for the season opener. But I will be surprised if he's full go during camp.
Mm-hmm. I think that going up against these receivers – every day in camp is going to be great for Fulton, Farley, and Molden.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be great going up against Brady and Evans and Godwin and AB mm-hmm. when they go to Tampa Bay. How much of an improvement are you expecting out of the defense this year?
I think there's going to be vast improvement. And for me, it's all about the mindset, right? And what do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. The aggressiveness, the willingness to challenge. And I think that starts on the back end. I've said it over and over again, what Kevin Byard had mentioned about wanting to be more aggressive and challenge guys at the line of scrimmage, especially on third and short. This is something we didn't see last year, and it's if there's one – like if I had a dime for every time a fan mentioned that on Twitter, my Aston Martin Vantage would be, you know, parked outside. I'll put it to you that way. So mm-hmm. I know that's a thorn in the side of a lot of fans. It's a thorn in the side of everyone that watches the Titans – defense last year. They definitely have to improve upon that. So I think that's going to happen. And why do I think that? Well, Caleb Farley is a guy that he likes to play up on a receiver, and he's not afraid of a guy that's fast. I mean, I asked him about Tyreek Hill and he said bring it, you know, so that lets you know. And I love what he said. What am I supposed to do, be afraid of him? So when you have a guy with that confidence and the willingness to express that, right, and kind of show his teeth, that, hey, he's a dog. You know what I mean? And Fulton, has a lot of speed too. So you have guys that are willing to get up and challenge at the line. You have Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins, who was another one that you know will challenge receivers, and that's what they need in that defense. And I think just having that on the outside is going to help the guys up front, because now they're getting just that extra tick to be able to get to the quarterback. But what has to happen with the guys up front? They have to finish. We frequently saw these guys getting into the quarterback's face, at times having him under wraps, and the quarterback, whether it's Deshaun Watson or you know, anyone else, able to escape. And you can't have that, because I don't care who you have in the secondary. If you ask them to cover for a long time, it's not going to – at some point, receivers are going to get open. So it's a thing on both sides as far as the back end and the front end. I think that when you bring in finishers like DeNico Autry, finishers like Bud Dupree, I think that just helps the mindset, right? And that's what some of the NFL execs are saying, you know, about the DeNico Autry deal. They said, well, that dude is going to change the whole mindset of that front, and he's going to make them all dogs. So you have that. And Bud Dupree, you remember his intro press conference. You know, I asked him about, you know, the pits that he has and everything, and he talked about having 11 guys that want to take – somebody's face off. Now that sounds good in the press, right? And in the pressers and those type of things. But when a guy says that, and then you match that to how he plays, I think when you see someone else playing with that ferocious mindset, that ferocious approach, as a player, as a man, you're gonna be like, well, you know, I got to bring that same level of intensity. So I think that will rub off on the other guys.
TD, I know you know all three men really, really well. Jim Schwartz, Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen. Chris Sanders was on our show yesterday, and I asked Chris, what do you think of, you know, what are you most excited to see at camp? Here's what Chris said.
Actually, I wouldn't be looking at the players. I would be looking at three coaches, and it's one of them is Bowen, Schwartz, and Mike Vrabel. How are they going to make this defense look? I mean, we've been talking about this year and talking about it last year. Will the defense be improved? I know they got Archie from the Indianapolis Colts. They got Dupree. They got Simmons. They got a lot of great players up front, but how is it going to look? Who's going to be the voice of the defense? When it's third and five or third and six, who's going to be that voice? Oh, can these guys work together? I mean, you got three-headed monster with Bowen, Schwartz, and Mike Vrabel. Can they work together? Can they say, you know what, I understand I bring a lot of experience to the table, but what's best for the team? So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the interaction with the players. I'm looking to where when they go through a situation practice to where the defense has to stop the offense, who's going to be that voice to say this is the defense they were running? So those are kind of the intangibles that I'm looking. If I was at camp, that's what I'm looking for. I understand the Tennessee Titans got some great players on offense, got some great players on defense, but I'm looking to see how these coaches are going to put it all together and put together a great team. That's the thing I'm looking for.
TD, what do you think?
Yeah, he's right. And I tell you how much we agree about this. I wrote about this a month ago. And it's a matter of not having too many chefs in the kitchen, right, and being able to make that whole thing work. And I think it's going to work. I believe it's going to, because one of the things that I love that Mike Vrabel said when I asked him about this was, you know, we're going to have disagreements. We're not going to always see eye to eye, but what we have to make sure that we do when we leave that room is make sure that all of us are on the same page. And I think that unified message, right, I think that is above all else what they have to ensure that they have. And I think, you know, when you look at the headsets, right, and all the different voices in there, ultimately it's going to be Shane Bowen's voice going into Rashawn Evans or Jayon Brown's helmet. And I think just that whole process is going to have to be streamlined, because, as Chris said, you're going to have multiple voices, but there has to be just an understanding that, hey, look, at this point, this is the one that's going to make the decision, and we're just going to roll with it.
Get your questions in for TD, 615-737-1025. I want to leave a lot of time because we know we got a lot of questions. Training camp, less than a week away. 615-737-1025. We will hit those coming up next. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys online at freedomtireguys.com, National's premier mobile tire company. Let me tell everybody out there, that's right, everybody out there, about the Blue Raider Blitz, which is rolling across the mid-state to a town near you. Led by Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders football coach Rick Stockstill, this community-wide event will be guaranteed fun for the whole family. Each of the seven stops will include food, ticket giveaways, and a chance to mix and mingle with MTSU coaching staffs and the best mascot in Conference USA, Lightning. Tonight, the Blue Raider Blitz will be at 3rd and Home in Germantown, next to First Horizon Park, from 6 to 8. For more information, head to blueraider.com/tour. Stillman and Company, TD's with us. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. TD with us, the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's online mobile tire company. That's right, freedomtireguys.com. TD, we left perfect time as we're less than a week away from training camp. By the way, apparently Ben Arthur at the Tennessean has apparently a screenshot from Elijah Molden's girlfriend congratulating him on signing, fiance, excuse me, celebrating his new contract. So he has signed with the Titans. That leaves Monty Rice as the only Titan player so far that is not under contract, the only draft pick not under contract. But it is time for the questions for TD. This is a very popular segment. So Caroline Fenton, without further ado, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What questions do we have for TD?
Devin from Dover texts in and says, what is your prediction for the right tackle position as far as a starter for week one?
That would be Kendall Lamb. Now, you fast forward 3 weeks later, I firmly believe it's going to be Dylan Raidens. That's the way I look at it.
Do you foresee a chance that Raidens wins this job out of camp?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a chance that he wins this job. I don't think that he's someone to rule out. I just think it's going to be tough for him. I envision him starting. Now, this is going to depend on Ty Sambrello's health, though, right? Because if Sambrello is not good to go, he'll be working with the second team, and he'll only have to jump one spot. I just personally feel it'll be tough for him to jump two spots into that starting role during camp.
The Canadian Titan texts in to the text line and says, last year the Titans made a surprise cut of draft pick Cole McDonald before the season even started, not long into training camp. In your opinion, are there any 2021 rookies in danger of a similar cut?
I don't think so. I really don't. And I mean, it wasn't like that big of a surprise that McDonald got cut, in my opinion. I remember the play. That daggone Isaiah Wilson, man. He got beat. And I think it was either Tuzar. I think it was Tuzar Skipper came off the edge. And he made Cole McDonald have to change the trajectory of the throw. And it was an outbreaking route. And he couldn't get as much on it as he probably wanted to. And I forget the corner who it was, but picked it off. Actually, I believe it was Fulton. It was someone else. But picked it off, and it would have been a touchdown. And that next day, he got the Turk came knocking. So I don't see that as a surprise. As far as cuts, surprise ones, I don't really see any for this draft class. Brady Breeze, I believe, is going to – you know, let me say this. That's a pick that I questioned. But I think Brady Breeze is going to have a long career in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I look at him as a Chris Maragos type who won a chip with the Seahawks and with the Eagles. And he's the guy I initially thought of as a possible cut. But then I thought to myself, no, I don't see that happening. So I can't see any one of these rookies getting cut. It would have to take a monumental failure for them to do that.
And on top of the McDonald thing, I mean, we didn't know when the draft happened. We didn't know what the end reality of COVID was going to be or how that was going to play coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans found themselves in a position where they had to get a veteran quarterback into camp to be that third guy. So I think it was McDonald was out, and 5 seconds later, Simeon was in. And they were never going to play McDonald in 2020. So, you know, if you knew what it was going to be like in April at the draft, maybe you change your mind. But I think that was kind of it wasn't a surprise because they needed a veteran at that position.
Right. No, I agree.
Ben texts into the text line and says, TD, if the Titans defense can improve to a middle of the pack unit and Carson Wentz rebounds as a top 16 quarterback in a great situation in Indy, how do you see the battle for the division playing out this season?
I still see the Titans winning the division, But I'm going to tell you what's going to be more important for the Colts than Carson Wentz rebounding to a top 16, and that's John that running back, man. That running back, man, that second-year player they got, he is actually going to be more important. I actually see the Colts using him and Nyheim Hines, you know, in kind of a combo role and actually mirroring what the Titans do on offense. So, for me, it's the running back. But Wentz being a top 16 quarterback would definitely help them. I still just think if the Titans defense could just step it up, that team is going to be hard to deal with, because if they can step, you're going to have physicality in literally all phases of the football game. And that's what they're trying to do, right? They brought in dogs, man, in Jack Rabbit Jenkins, Danico Autry, even Rashad Weaver, you know, in addition to obviously Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden. These guys are dogs. So I think that's going to help just change the whole, not mindset, but just the way that they play, get back to that backyard fighting type of football that they've brought. And not to mention, Jayon Brown's likely to be there for a full season as opposed to just 10 games. So all of that is good. And I just feel if they could just have a better season defensively, that team's going to be tough to beat, very tough.
I have two thoughts on Indianapolis, like two things that I look at with them and the Titans. The first is, you're right about Jonathan Taylor because he's a dog. But I think Eric Fisher at left tackle, that is a big deal for them, because how long will it take Fisher to come back from that Achilles injury? And how much can that weakness on the offensive line while he's gone, or if he has a setback, because Achilles injuries are a big deal. I think that could be a big deal. If he's the Eric Fisher of old, Indianapolis has a great offensive line with Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly and those guys. And the other thing, TD, is I wonder what the net difference is with last year it was Autry and Buckner.
Mm-hmm.
Lose Autry. Mm-hmm. Now it's Autry and Simmons on the other side. And I wonder how much that maybe swings things in Tennessee's favor.
Yeah, I think it's going to swing things a lot, because those guys on the interior, man, Autry and Buckner, man, they were teaming up and just wrecking shop. You remember the game here where it was bad news. So I definitely feel you on that swing, and that's something to definitely point to. I just feel even still with Eric Fisher, even when he does come back, you still have the mental aspect of it, right? You have the mental aspect. How much is he going to trust that Achilles? You know what I mean? And how much mobility will he have, you know, to be able to kick step and get back into his drop, his pass protection drop, like he should be able to. And that's something that is going to be big for me. I just don't see that being where it needs to be. And yeah, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, these are really good players. I love Jeffrey Simmons against both of them, to be honest with you. So that almost neutralizes that, in my opinion.
To your point about Autry and Buckner, just remember what it looked like when they played against the Titans, and then remember what Derrick Henry did when they were both out. And that'll tell you how good those two guys are. What else we got, Caroline?
Randy texts in and says, could the Titans be a better team all the way around but end up with a 9-8 or worse record based on the difficult schedule?
Here's the thing that's really interesting about these wins that the Titans had last year. So many of them were close. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it just so happened that the ball bounced their way, whether it was a 53-yard field goal, a 55-yard field goal, a 54. Well, there was one game where you had three. The season opener, you had three 50-plus-yard field goals. You know, so with all those games being decided by so few points, it could definitely go the other way. So, I mean, I would be surprised if it was a 9-8 season, but I wouldn't be shocked. And, again, it's not because of the strength of schedule. It's just because of the wins that they had. I mean, a lot of their wins were very close, under 6 points.
Well, Floyd used to always tell me that, you know, there's a handful of teams on both sides of the spectrum that are really, really good. And they're, you know, they're going to win 13, 14 games. And then there's a couple of teams that are really, really bad. They're going to be bad no matter what. But most of the league is 8-8, and it's, do you make those plays that can make you 10-6 in two games, or do you make those plays in three games that make you 11-5?
Yeah.
This is where I get concerned about it, TD, is that I felt like last year they made those plays. To your point about close games, close game at home against Jacksonville, they made those plays. Close games against the Vikings, Broncos, Texans. You know, twice they made those plays. Those aren't great teams. You know, those are, you know, they're going to have to make those plays this year in these games, but they're going to have to do it at New England. They're going to have to do it against the NFC West and the Saints. And so I get a little worried to the texter's point.
But here's one thing that you always have to look at with a Mike Vrabel coach team, and I don't know what it is, but they have a way of elevating themselves to the competition, right? And it's just something about that. Look at the Patriots game, right, where they won that one. Look at the Eagles game where they won that. And look at some of these other games. You know, they have a way of elevating themselves. But unfortunately, there have been too many times where they've kind of dropped to the level of the team that they're facing as well. Look at the Jets game, right? Look at the Redskins. You know, these are all games that, you know, shouldn't have been as close as they were. So I feel what you're saying, but I don't think it's as much of a concern, because it's just something about when the competition is higher, they tend to elevate their play.
TD, do you think the fact that Ryan Tannehill led the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives last year says something about the luck of the team last year, or mm-hmm. do you think it says something mm-hmm. about Tannehill?
It says something about Tannehill and just that whole offense, to be honest with you, because, look, you talk about close games. Let's talk about the season finale, right? That 50-plus yarder to A.J. Brown, you know, him being able to get position immediately and be able to make that play and set up that field goal. You know, so for me, it does say a lot about Tannehill. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about him is it seems like no matter the situation, obviously I'm not in the huddle, but talking to guys who are in the huddle, that dude's unfazed, right? Whether they're blowing a team out or if they're with 10 seconds left, they need a touchdown, the guy just seems to be just the same old dude. And I think that's important, and that's something that you know, a lot of the great quarterbacks, that's a trait that they have.
One last one for TD.
Yes, Mark from Clarksville texts in and says, who are a few guys that nobody is talking about that will make the Titans roster? He said his bold prediction is Pinckney will lead the Titans tight ends in yards and touchdowns.
That is a bold prediction, and it's one that I like. I think Briley Moore out of Kansas State, that's the guy that I'm pointing to that's going to make the roster, and no one's talking about it. And I've said it before, you know, he's an H-back, right? He did that a lot at Kansas State. So on those plays where you bring the tight end across the formation and he kicks out the end or he seals the end and allows you to, you know, be able to run kind of like that counter, I think that's something that he is going to be a guy that they lean on to do. And in my opinion, he's their best option at H-back. So I think he'll complement both Anthony Ferguson and Jeff Swaim very well. They could keep four tight ends, but I believe even if they keep three, he's actually on my roster projection. So that's one. Another guy to watch out for, well, there's a few. But another guy to watch out for, Quentin Meeks out of Stanford. He kind of bounced around a bit, but he has that length, and I know they like that. You remember LeSean Sims, they really like that out of him, and he's someone that could also contribute on special teams, very heady player. I remember at the Combine, and when he signed with the Titans, I reached out to him about it and asked him, you know, if he remembered it, and he remembered the conversation vividly. We talked about when receivers have zero splits, which is like more of a tight bunch formation, and how that creates separation and makes a DB drop back. And it was just he and I at the podium. We talked for like a good 5 minutes, man. I was mad when somebody else came to ask a question. But that just told me he's the son of a coach too, you know, very knowledgeable. So I could see him, not because of being a son of a coach, but because of all of the things I mentioned, I could see him actually making the roster and being a guy to contribute on special teams.
Quick one for you, TD, before we get out of here. Do you have Jeremy McNichols making your 53-man roster?
I do. They like him too much. And he's a guy, he's probably the one that they trust the most in pass pro, to be honest with you. So I do have him making it.
TD, the TD Power Hour comes and goes by the fastest hour in radio. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, I will have the Power Hour next week. I'm sure we will be talking to you before then as practices will be underway. It is here. And, of course, talking with TD already out this week.
That's right. Already out. We got Larrell Murchison, Dr. Amis Adalja, as I mentioned earlier. And listen, Chris Sanders and Chris – hey, man, we're going to be friends again eventually, but you know, your number one pick in that running back top five that we have, I got a problem with you, man. I definitely got a problem. So make sure you guys tune in so you can hear who we pick.
You know he's just going to call you Gary Coleman and me John Candy after that. You know that's where he's headed. TD, appreciate you as always.
All right, man. Appreciate both of you, Caroline and Jarrett. Thank you.
Yep,
and Matt.
TD.
Teron Davenport, as always, he's the best talking with TD. And, of course, he'll be on, I believe, the morning show tomorrow morning, breaking down the Titans campus so close. Coming up next, I think, remember yesterday, this time yesterday, we talked about the rumor, Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. I didn't think A&M would let it happen. I think it's going to happen, and there's one person that I look to that tells me why. Next, Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.